You're just in time for the best of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, the radio outreach of the Christian Research Institute. Our purpose here at CRI is to equip Christians to pursue sound doctrine, to discern truth and error, and to become faithful disciples of Christ, because life and truth matter. For more information, to order resources or donate, call 888-7000-CRI. Or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. Now, here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
And thank you very much, Randy. Today I want to talk about learning to rightly interpret Scripture in an age of biblical illiteracy. I thought about a question I received recently from a Christian leader as I read the cover feature article of the upcoming issue of the Christian Research Journal. This leader wanted to know why God chose to reveal himself in the way that he did. Why the confusing prose of Genesis? Why bizarre prophecies such as those encountered in Daniel and Ezekiel? And why end the panoply of Scripture with a virtually unintelligible book chronicling the end of the world? Well, as I thought about how I should respond to this Christian leader, I was reminded of Rebecca Valerius's inclusion of the following G.K. Chesterton quote in the cover article for the next issue of the Christian Research Journal. In the article, she quotes Chesterton saying that the riddles of God are more satisfying than the solutions of humanity. And that is the essence of the matter. Scripture is a heavenly condescension. To explain the profundity and purposes of God to people like us is, as has been well said, like trying to explain Einstein to a small-neck clam. And that is precisely why we have to approach the task of interpreting the Word of God with a great deal of humility. And nowhere does this truth become more manifest than in the book of Job. After 30-plus chapters of rambling speculations, God appears, and he asked some questions of his own. In essence, God asked not only Job, but his counselors, whether they'd like to try their hand at running the universe for a while. Try creating a lightning bolt. How about just a tiny drop of dew? God is far beyond our comprehension. And yet, he condescends to communicate eternal verities in ways that are profoundly meaningful. I'm particularly intrigued by the way in which God explicates the nature of our arch enemy. Of course, I'm talking about Satan. In Genesis, he's presented as an alluring serpent. In the book of Psalms, he is portrayed as a multi-headed monster opposing the very purposes of God. In Isaiah, well, there he's like a coiling serpent emerging out of the primal waters. And in the last book of the Bible, in the book of Revelation, a red dragon that personifies the extremities of evil. But think about Job for a moment. In the literary progression of Job, you have movement from creation to creatures to the cherub who once ranked first in the order of creation, a monster who will ultimately be vanquished. So while Scripture is admittedly inexhaustible and mysterious, it invites us not only to apprehend, but to imprint its majesty on the canvas of our consciousness. And in this vein, Genesis opens with a literary mnemonic by which we are daily reminded of God's creative prowess. The first 6 days outline a hierarchy of creation that culminates in humanity as its crowning jewel. And then on the seventh, the Creator in whom we ultimately find our Sabbath rests. As such, the history of creation is remembered and recalled through its association with the continuous seven-day cycle of life. The heavenly condescension continues with a structure that can be remembered using our 10 fingers. With one hand, we recall primeval history, the accounts of the heavens and the earth, of Adam, Noah, Noah's sons, and Shem, father of the ancient Near East. With the other hand, we remember the accounts of Terah. He was the father of Abraham, of Ishmael, of Isaac, of Esau, of Jacob, who is ultimately called Israel. And in process of communicating eternal verities, Moses employs Hebrew symmetries, parallelisms, and sevenfold patterns. The end result? Well, it's a unified and memorable prologue to the whole of redemptive history. Well, like Genesis, the prophetic books like Daniel and Ezekiel follow a profound but very comprehensible literary sequence. It's complex, but it's hardly convoluted. Through Daniel, God reveals his present as well as his eternal purposes for the world. 6 centuries before the advent of our Lord Jesus Christ, Daniel was empowered to do what no soothsayer, no astrologer ever could. With awe-inspiring precision, he predicts a succession of nations from Babylon to the Median and Persian empires to the coming of the babe of Bethlehem, a king who would usher in a kingdom that will never be vanquished or destroyed. And like the prophet Daniel, the prophetic prose of Ezekiel is profound. The climax of his prophecies highlight both the resuscitation of Israel and the resurrection of true Israel. Ezekiel prophesied as he was commanded, and suddenly there was a noise, a rattling sound, and bones came together, bone to bone. It looks at Ezekiel, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, and there was no breath in them. So again, Ezekiel prophesied as he had been commanded to do, and breath entered the bodies. They came to life and stood on their feet, a vast army. Well, the interpretation leaves very little guesswork. God would unlock the abode of the dead. He would reinvigorate Israel. I will put my spirit in you, and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it, declares the Lord. When I come back from the break, I want to talk about the book of Revelation, because this is another book that oftentimes is written off as convoluted, hard to understand, mysterious beyond comprehension, but in reality, it is meant to be understood. We'll talk about that and a whole lot more when I come back from this break and talk more about the incomprehensibility of Scripture actually being comprehensible if we learn the art and science of biblical interpretation. I do want to remind you, if you're not getting the Christian Research Journal, you need to do that. And the reason is we are committed to teaching you to read God's revelation for all its substantial worth. that's not something that you ought to gloss over quickly, because the Bible is God's revelation, not just to all of humanity, but to you. God is speaking personally to you. And in doing so, he is transforming you, not only for time, but also for eternity. So the articles that we have prepared for you in the Christian Research Journal are worth the effort of reading, and therefore worth the investment of subscribing. You can do so in a safe and secure fashion on the web at equip.org. You can also write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. I also want to thank all of you who stand shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. Believe me, you're making a difference in the lives of people all over the world. I receive the testimonies on a virtually daily basis. Be right back with more.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's flagship publication designed to equip you in doctrine, defense, and discernment. When you subscribe to the journal, you'll receive a magazine that's not only scholarly in its substance, but beautiful in its presentation, easily accessible and relevant, with stunning graphics and rich content written by respected theologians and communicators. The Christian Research Journal is a must-have resource that no Christian home should be without. Start your subscription today. Call 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff will be right back with more after this. The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources, along with a complimentary subscription to the Christian Research Journal, are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making, and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org. Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. I'm talking today about a question I received recently from a Christian leader, as I mentioned in the first segment of the broadcast today. This leader wanted to know why God chose to reveal himself in such a confusing way. Why the confusing prose of Genesis? And why end the panoply of Scripture with a virtually unintelligible book chronicling the end of the world? Well, in response, I wrote this Christian leader, and I also wrote an article for the From the President section of the upcoming issue of the Christian Research Journal. So subscribe, and you'll get the essence of what I'm talking about today in print as well. In this segment, I want to talk about the book of Revelation. Sometimes it is thought of as unintelligible, but it's not. The essence of Revelation is the unveiling of a bride. It's a wedding covenant from beginning to end. It begins with seven love letters to a persecuted bride. It continues with the noxious vision of a prostituted bride, and then concludes with the unveiling of a purified bride. To unpack this a bit, Revelation begins by unveiling a persecuted bride, true Israel. True Israel represented by the faithful and seven churches in the province of Asia. They face the full fury of a ferocious Roman beast bent on her obliteration, and therefore the bridegroom exhorts and encourages his bride to be faithful and fearless. Those who do not forsake their first love may suffer persecution for 10 days, but in the end they will reign with Christ 1,000 years. Well, as the letters of Christ to his persecuted bride utilize images deeply embedded in the language of the Bible, so too the judgment of Christ against a prostituted bride. These letters, this language finds its referent in the history of the Old Testament scriptures. The pattern of sevenfold judgment against unfaithfulness on the part of Israel is spelled out in dreadful detail in the book of Leviticus. And so, in like fashion, the imagery of sevenfold judgment against apostate Israel is unveiled on 4 occasions as well in the book of Revelation. And then, of course, you have the unveiling of the purified bride. She's dressed in fine linen, bright and clean. A bride that the bridegroom ultimately carries over the threshold of Jordan into a new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God. A bride beautifully dressed for her husband. A bride whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. What should be readily apparent is that the book of Revelation is hardly unintelligible, nor is it a mere book of riddles. Rather, it's a book of symbols that are deeply rooted in Old Testament history. We mistake their meanings when we fail to hear the background music of the Old Covenant. So the Tree of Life, that tree of life referred to in Jesus' letter to the church of Ephesus, it first appears in Genesis. The 10 days of testing in Smyrna find their referent in Daniel. The heavenly manna promised to the church of Pergamon first fell from heaven in Exodus. The Jezebel who promoted sexual immorality in Thyatira is the mirror image of the idolatrous Jezebel in Kings. The seven spirits of the letter to the church in Sardis hark back to the spirit as described by Zechariah. The key of David that is referenced In the letter to Philadelphia, well, it echoes the words of Isaiah, and Christ's rebuke to the church of Laodicea alludes to the words of Proverbs. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, and do not resent his rebuke. In Revelation, just like in the rest of Scripture, we are alerted to the reality that the whole of Scripture is greater than the sum of its individual passages. You cannot comprehend the Bible as a whole without comprehending the individual passages, and you cannot comprehend the individual passages without comprehending the Bible as a whole. The synergy of Scripture demands that individual passages may never be interpreted in a way that conflicts with the whole of Scripture. You, as a biblical interpreter, must always keep in mind that all of Scripture, even though communicated through various human instruments, has one single author. And that author does not contradict himself, nor does he confuse you, his servant. Now, this reality is made abundantly plain in another article in the upcoming issue of the Christian Research Journal. It's by a Father Lawrence Farley. It's a great article. It's titled, In Defense of the Church's Traditional Doctrine of Hell. Embracing universalism, writes Father Farley, involves parting with the clear teaching of the New Testament, with the consensus of the fathers, with the settled teaching of the church, and even with the monastic tradition of spiritual struggle. As such, it militates against the art and science of biblical interpretation. A science in that certain rules apply, an art in that the more you apply the rules, the better you get at it. And that, in large part, is what the Christian Research Institute seeks to do through its various outreach ministries. And of course, not the least of those ministries is the Christian Research Journal. We want to teach an ever-growing worldwide audience to understand a view of reality that is existentially satisfying, yet a view of reality that leaves you yearning for more. So, as you read through the upcoming issue of our flagship magazine, I hope that you will remember that while seeking to interpret Scripture properly in an age of biblical illiteracy does take effort, it's well worth the investment. Think about it. Even in heaven, maybe especially in heaven, we're going to continue to learn and grow. We're going to forever seek to comprehend more fully the ineffable God who has saved us by His grace. I think so often about all of the pursuits that we can get involved in. We get involved in political movements. And all that has its place. But we always have to remember the first place. Remember that our spiritual nourishment comes from God's holy word. And therefore, we are committed to helping you read the Bible for all its substantial worth. The upcoming issue of the Christian Research Journal, I think, exemplifies what we are attempting to do. And if you embrace the journal, it will help you to embrace the Scripture. And if you embrace the Scripture, you'll embrace the very one who inspired the words of sacred Scripture, the one with whom you will spend eternity. The one who has saved you by His grace, and the one who appeared in incarnation and will appear a second time to restore that which has been tarnished and broken. And as difficult as it may be to apprehend Scripture in this present life, in the life to come, we're going to learn and grow and develop, but without error. But we will be doing the same thing, forever seeking to comprehend the very one who saved us by His grace. You can subscribe to the Christian Research Journal online at equip.org. You can also write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. In the upcoming weeks, I want to start teaching through the Bible. I'll talk about that on a future edition coming up very, very soon. Thanks for tuning in to this special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Look forward to seeing you next time with more.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We pray that today's program has deepened your understanding of Scripture and helped you grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you'd like to contact CRI and order resources or partner with us financially, just go to equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call a resource consultant at 888-7000-274. You can also write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org.